Hallo.
Malka.
I couldn't get on with my cell. I had to use the landline.
Really?
Did you? Yeah. Are you having any trouble?
No, I'm on the cell.
Okay, I'm not going to hang up the landline, but I'm going to try redoing my.
So.
I'm a reboot. It's not doing anything.
Is this your computer or your?
No, I've been on the cell phone, but the cell phone is like locked all of a sudden.
Huh.
It won't even shut down.
It won't turn off completely?
But it's turning off now. Now let me see what it's going to do. Just a little simple circle, you know, like it would be loading, which isn't what it's supposed to be doing.
Hmm. Oh, are you, may just have some glitch in the Wi-Fi and the internet.
Well, I don't know. They came out yesterday. My Wi-Fi has always been so weak. And they came out and increased the power.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was working today. I got on this morning. Are you going to go to Hebrew class Saturday?
I'm going to try.
Okay.
Are they going to have services for Rosh Hashanah on Thursday? Is it Thursday or Wednesday? Thursday?
Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, but I don't think we're going to go to that. I don't think Tony can handle both the night and the next day because it's not till 8 o'clock. And then Rosh Hashanah morning is 10 o'clock till about 12:30.
Okay. Do we need to bring any kind of food or?
You'd need to let Sandy know. The night before is desserts, and I'll supply the hollow. But I'm just going to drop it off Wednesday afternoon. Well, my phone won't do anything, my cell.
Oh.
Oh, my. Oh. Always something to steal my time. Oh.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, just leave it off for a while. Turn it completely down. Power it completely down.
Well, the thing is, this little circle keeps going round and round, you know, like when something is loading.
But you can go ahead and shut it down, you know, power it completely down.
Yeah, but it won't do. I'm pressing it and still that little center, you know, that goes round and round. It's not doing anything. And it's not but 2 months old. So.
Mm-hmm. Ruby.
Hi, Ruby.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing good.
Good. Are we the only two on?
Brianna? Try to
hasn't
plug.
Come on yet.
Okay, I'm going to try to plug. Phone.
Hey. Hannah, put your phone on a power source. You know, plug it into the wall.
Well, I just got it off because I had it, you know, had it charging. But let me see. Oh, wait, the apple's coming up.
Okay.
Let's see what happens. It could have been updating.
It could have, yeah.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Okay, I'm going to hang up my landline and retry my cell. My cell wasn't working, so let me do that.
Okay. So we are in section 11 of Parsha Noah, and okay. We're on Pasuk 73. We'll start with the Lishem Yehud. Lishem Yehud kudshad rechu ishkinte bit hilu urchimu udhilu. Ud hilu urchimu liakta lishem yote bavate. Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Elohino elena ma'asei adenu kununei elena ma'asei adenu kununehu. Tachatzei kadachai etz ose pri itchabar ve'etz pri kol inun zamin dileila. Ravivan, Rav Ravan, Uze Aran, the Kama, Zainin, the Kochad, the Zinea, Kadaa, Fayot, Tatanot, Im Gidolot, Kegabna, Da Noah. Vativa v'kalho Navku min tevuta V'it kayem alma Tegavna dilela Ugine kach noach Isha adama Ikre noach Ish tzadik Ikre v'haok muha. Come and see, when the fruit tree yielding fruit, Yesod of Zeranpin, is joined with the fruit tree, which is Malchut, then all the species of above, great and small living creatures, and all their varieties come forward, each with other members of its species, as it is written, both small and great beasts. So is the case with Noah and the ark. They all emerged from the ark, meaning they all were corrected while they were in the ark. It is the same with the offspring above, who received their correction from Malchut. And the world existed just as it did above. And this is why Noah is called a husbandman, that is, the husband of the earth, and a righteous man, meaning that the righteous is just as is the Yesod above, as has been previously explained. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, to me, it's saying that during that period of being in the ark, that the spiritual world and the physical world united. And thanks to Noah, I guess we say, as a husbandman.
I think that...
Go ahead, Martha.
I think that more light was... return to Malkut because the upper worlds were elevated. The souls in the upper worlds were elevated, so I think more light was returned from Hokmah since he's the father. So the light was coming directly from Hokmah.
The light comes to... comes from Chokmah through Bina. Chokmah and Bina are always in unity. But this verse isn't really dealing with Chokmah and Bina. It's saying that the ark was a separate dimension from the earth. That the animals who went into the ark were cleansed, purified, corrected, whatever word we want to utilize. In this case, it's telling us they were corrected while they were in the ark. That process of living in the ark outside of the frame of the earth corrected them. And that the meaningful aspect I'm looking for the words. And it is the same with offspring above. So who received their correction from Malchut. It's hinting at a spiritual issue, I don't want to say law, but what it's hinting at is that Yesod is not in, it's in the physical world and it's outside of the physical world. So that when anybody is at the level of consciousness of Yesod, they are not in the same frame of reference as what is somebody that is being described as being in Malchut. So what is Yesod actually? And that's what the hint is. We have to discuss, we have to come to understand what is Yesod. It's a different dimension. It's a spiritual dimension. It's outside of the physical world. And what happens in that, because you're outside of the physical world, the physical attributes and the physical laws don't apply. And so the purification can take place. And Noah, being connected to Yesod, becomes the husbandman. His actions of feeding the animals, his actions is what caused the cleansing. That's what's being hinted at. It's not clear, but that's what I see in this verse.
I thought that's what I said, only in a little simpler way.
Did they need to be cleansed because when Adam did what he did, then that threw everything off balance? And so now it's put back into balance?
Well, yes, it was brought back into balance, but it wasn't only because of Adam and Chava. It was done because all of the actions of the generation of the flood. Human activity affects the higher worlds.
You don't think
and
it was all of the generations? Not just the one of the flood? But I said you don't think it was all of the generations from Adam to Noah, those 10 generations?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's all of those generations.
Okay.
But you also have to remember, and the reason that I implied that it was just the generation of the flood is because everything that you did incorrectly in previous lifetimes is presented to you as an opportunity to make tikkun. So your last lifetime is the only thing that counts. Everything else is before that. You can have 1,000 lifetimes. But in each of those lifetimes, the same action that is a mistake is being done. And so once you correct that last action in the last lifetime, you correct all of the previous lifetimes. it confusing? Could it clear?
No, it's
clear.
Okay. So let's go on to verse 74. Rabbi Chiyo Amar Tilat Me'ashanim Ad La'ate Tofana Awa Noach Atre Beho Alo Vadai Hom Vilahawo Shamin Le'a Adikucha Perichu Ashlim Zim Nadiorich Lom Veita Vidu Me Alma Tachate Makitiv Leila Vayehi Ki Chechal Adam Laro Al Pene Adama Uvanot Yuldu Lahem Vachavo Azmin Artilaim Lenehon Lekola Makiti Vayiru Bene HaElokim Et Benot Adam Wigomer Bedahawa Yasoda Vayikra Lemit Nakad Beho Vehon Adegarim Lonely Ishtatza Me Alma Uginkach Eat Mashkan Batar Yetzer Ara Ugizo Visharsho Vidacho Mechim Nuta Kadisha Mibene Naihu Vistavu Kimadit Mar Begin Kach Ket Kobasar Bolifanai Le La Alafa Kategoria Alaihu. Rabbi Chiyo said, for 300 years before the great flood, Noah warned them to change their ways, but they did not listen to him. Until the time when the Holy One, blessed be He, had finished waiting for them to repent. This is as it is written, and his days shall be 120 years. Then they were lost from the world. Come and see. In the previous weekly portion it is written, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, who they went naked in front of everyone. And then what is written, and the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men. This was the main cause that brought them to continue sinning until it finally caused them to be destroyed. And because of that, they followed the evil inclination. They held fast to its trunk and its roots, rejected the holy faith from among themselves, and became defiled. So it is written, the end of all flesh is come before me, to teach that they were guilty. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So, if the daughters of men went around naked, is that one of those words that is not really naked, but it's like not hiding their intentions or emotions?
Is one of the different ways of seeing that explanation in that verse. Yes. doesn't have to be on the physical level that they were naked, but it could be that they were just guileless. They presented everything, and their plans were not able to manifest because there were other people who had different plans. And if it's like even today, we live in this quote-unquote open society where all of the politics is in the open. All of the laws are being revealed as they become into existence. But when all of that is happening, a lot of things don't get done. It's more efficient to have people pass laws and then present them to the rest of the world, rest of the community, and say, here's the laws we've passed. It'll be more efficient, you'll get more accomplished. It's not considered to be an appropriate or a positive explanation in today's world. The society says that what's important is that everybody knows and everybody has the right to input their meaning and their values into that process.
But at the same time, in the physical, we're seeing women with their dresses, more and more of their bodies are exposed. Dresses don't take very much fabric to make these days because they're so short. And so much of the top part is very low. And that's been going on for, I guess, maybe about 3 years. It first started with Hollywood, and now it's in everyday dress.
Well, I'm not a good observer of women's clothing, but I think... every time I've ever seen the women's fashions and compared it to earlier generations, everything repeats itself every 20, 30 years.
Years, and I remember in the 70s when I was teaching, the dresses got a little bit above the knee. Maybe touching the top of the knee. And believe me, to write on the chalkboard really took having to bend down straight. You couldn't bend over. But now,
right,
the skirts are even shorter,
I understand what you're saying, and I'm sure other people do as well. I'm just saying that it's not...
I think what I'm trying to say is when I see that line that says, and they went naked in front of everyone, and we're seeing some of the same things that were present at the time of the flood, we're seeing them in our generation. I think that's basically what I see in that.
And that's true. But now I'm going to ask a question that's a really difficult question to answer. What's wrong with women or men going around naked? If we look at children, they're constantly taking their clothes off, right?
Right.
Toddlers constantly get undressed. What is wrong with that?
Because you need to conceal to be revealed.
That is correct. That is the answer. That is the answer, Hannah. You're laughing because it seems so simple. But that is the answer. Something, in order to be revealed, something must be concealed. The reason you wear clothing is to conceal what will ultimately be revealed in your marriage. That's the only reason we wear clothing. Some people will tell you, oh, it's to keep warm. They will tell you it's because of fashion. But the ultimate spiritual reason for wearing clothing is to conceal what will ultimately be revealed. And by concealing it, you create a condition of potential revealment. And in essence, the question that you sent me by email, Hannah, that we'll talk about more tonight in the 7 o'clock class, that is the same answer. What is God's secret? God's secret is that he moves from concealment to revealment, from not being available to being revealed. That's his secret. It transitions and it transforms the whole world when God's face is revealed, when he conceals his face. It's good to contemplate what does it mean that God conceals himself. We think of the Tzimtzum as just part of the process, but it is the ultimate core essence. You have to take the time to contemplate that. Any questions? Well, I've left everybody speechless again.
Oh.
For women, that's a good thing. You know that. For us to be speechless is a good thing. It means the wheels are turning in the head.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Silence is a good thing. But we are out of time, so if you want to continue this conversation, we'll have to do it in the 7 o'clock class.
Okay.
You all have a good evening. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock is questions and answers. 8:30 is the Tikkuni Zohar. And tomorrow at 10:30 is Slichot.
Okay. Thank you, Hanuk. Bye, everybody.
Shalom.
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 Good night.
Bye.